verse 4 now. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations or afflictions that ye endure. You see, the church will not go through the great tribulation, but we're going through the little tribulation. We're going to have a little trouble down here, and if you're not, Christian friend, there must be something radically wrong with you, you see. And this word here that has to do with patience, your patience, that's an interesting word here. Actually, it means standing under, to be placed in under. A great many people try to get out from and under their problems, their difficulties. Well, the person who's patient, he is able to stay under, and he keeps carrying that load. He doesn't throw it off, doesn't get rid of his responsibility. And these Thessalonian Christians, they had a real testimony in the Roman world of that day. They were in a Roman colony, and there was going to and fro out of that colony all the time, and word got out everywhere. And therefore, they were enduring, actually, a great deal of trouble. They had persecutions and afflictions, and this was something that was not strange. The Word of God makes it clear, Christian friend, you're going to have a little trouble down here. Peter, in his first epistle, 4th chapter, expressed it like this. Verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Have you ever heard a Christian say, "Oh, I don't know why God let this happen to me. Nobody's ever had to go through with it." My friend, I don't know what you're going through, but whatever you're going through, you're not the only one. You have company, because it's not a strange thing. And in view of that, verse 13, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And he says, now we're not to suffer, verse 15, "as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." Now, a great many Christians are in hot water constantly because they talk too much. They talk about others, and they get in trouble. Or they actually are dishonest, and they're in trouble, and they complain about it. Well, friend, if you suffer like that, there's no advantage in discipline of your life and developing patience. You're just getting what's coming to you. Now, he says, though, verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And here in verse 16 of 1 Peter 4 is where I've just read. And therefore, we are to recognize that we are being disciplined. God will punish the wicked. And again, I need to repeat this, that today our judges, and I tell you, friends, the lawlessness in this nation is frightening. In fact, everybody's got frightened. They're going to have to do something about it, you see. You can't rehabilitate criminals. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's some that you can help. I think these first offenders that got with the wrong crowd, they can be helped, of course. But these hardened criminals today, there should not be a program to rehabilitate them and in 6 months turn them out on society. Because I tell you, they should be punished. And it should be very clear, they're being put in prison to be punished, and they should be kept there. And that's the reason that I have believed all along that it's the teaching of the Word of God that capital punishment is a deterrent to crime. And right now, the liberals are not so eloquent as they were some time ago. In fact, the matter is, it's rather amazing now to hear on the television some of these liberal boys talking about, "We must have law and order." Well, that was really, that was kaput a few years ago, or a few months ago. But it's coming back in style today. There should be punishment. I'm saying all of this because God disciplines his children for their development, for their growth, that they might have patience and a hope for the future. You don't need to get too comfortable down here. If you do, you wouldn't be looking for the Lord to come. Now he goes on to say here in verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now, that hasn't anything to do with your salvation, but it sure prepares you for your eternal state, my friend. You and I today are going to look back, and maybe some of us will wish we had a little bit more discipline than we got. That is for the present. Now, there's coming up the punishment of the wicked. Listen to him as he begins, actually, in verse 6. However, I have put it in my notes, the judgment of the wicked at the coming of Christ, beginning at verse 8. But this is preparation. Verse 6, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And when God judges today, God is righteous in it. And Paul asks the question, is there unrighteousness with God? And the answer is, let it not be. God forbid. I don't care what God does, it's right. He can't do wrong. He does right. And we complain because we actually are ignorant. We do not understand why God does a certain thing. And he does it for a very definite purpose. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels.